Shishen on speaker transitions in the interaction space. Off you go.
Hello everyone. So my name is Chi Chen. I'm a PhD student from Newcastle University. I think I'm very lucky to go first, and it's my first time to CA Day, so I'm feeling a little nervous, especially with a full house of CA experts, and also my supervisor, Dr. Adam Brunt, and my internal examiner, Dr. Spencer Hazel, is also here, so it's a great time. Yeah. Right, so in this presentation, I'll be showing you a snapshot of my PhD study, which is an analysis of speaker transitions happens in multi-party university meetings. So in this study, I analyzed group meetings held by undergraduate students in naval architecture who are working as a group on their final year projects. And especially I focus on a recurring activity, which I call the roundtable update discussion, which happens at the beginning of each meeting when the meeting chair appoints each one of the meeting participants to make an update on their recent progress, who then holds the floor for an extended period of time. So in my study, I analyze speaker transitions happen in every sequence of a roundtable update. And then one of my findings resemble what has been mentioned in the existing literature, that during such kind of update sequence, when one particular participant hold the floor as the primary speaker, and speaker transitions happen when a non-primary, non-chair participant self-selects to join the conversation, there is added pressure on this non-chair, non-primary speaker to successfully self-select him or herself, and he or she would invest extra interactional work to do so. So something like that. And then the existing literature has also done lots of work on such kind of speaker transitions done through next speaker self-selects by focusing on how they establish and gain establish speakership and gain recipiency at different sequential environments, and also how this can be done as a progressive procedure by the self-selecting speaker firstly act as a attentive or active recipient, and then go through the stages of possible next speaker, incipient speaker, and then finally the current speaker. And all of these can be displayed by the participants mobilizing a wide range of verbal or body visual resources. And especially today, what I wish to present would be very much closely related with the two notions documented in literature, which the first one is the home position. Especially in these kinds of meetings, when the whole group of participants are seated in a circle facing each other, for them to gather collective attention requires everyone to face the center to create a common shared interactional space, whereas a talked body facing a particular participant, for example, sitting on the right or left to him or herself, would thus break this kind of common shared interactional space and creating a subordinate involvement amongst selected parties. So what I want to show you is a contrast and comparison between two different cases. In the first case, and when the chair appointed primary speaker, as you can see, who is Mark, is making an update on his recent progress, a non-chair, non-primary speaker, Jason, self-selects, who is seated at the right-hand side of Mark on the same side. And then I'll show you Following that, I'll show you a different case when Mark, who is still the primary speaker, and John, another non-chair non-primary speaker, self-selects who is sitting opposite to him and the two participants facing each other. And by comparing the two cases, I wish to show you how they use the different interactional resources made available to them by the different seating arrangements. So let's look at the first case.
We're talking about like the supply chain.
So I'm thinking of, yeah, because you've got to allow for that thing.
Yeah.
Because you've got the cost, yeah.
Obviously, to do with the cost benefit analysis, you need more details, as you said.
Yeah.
How long, what time you need for us to give you the final detailed design so you can do the work before you can?
Well, what I'd like to do is set it all up.
So as we've just seen, Jason has made a self-selection toward Mark, the primary speaker. And his verbal turn was inserted on line 38. But then, before that, at the pre-turn stages, Jason has also displayed a series of body movements, including nodding and repositioning his upper body backward and forward, as well as shifting his eye gaze in between Paul, the meeting chair, and Mark, the primary speaker, who are speaking. And also on line 35, Jason has produced this vocalization as a display of his incipient speakership. So finally, he inserts his verbal turn on line 39. And at the turn beginning, Jason uses this restart to draw attention from the current speaker, Mark. And as soon as that Mark moves his head toward Jason and then establish mutual gaze with him. And upon establishing mutual gaze, Jason kind of leans backward and further facing Mark. So that's how Jason successfully established his speakership as a non-chair, non-primary speaker. And then, as we can see, Jason leads his verbal turn further into turn expansion consisting three increments. And what I wish to show you, I wish to focus on is how during the first CCU and the three increments, Jason has displayed a dual orientation towards the primary speaker as well as towards the whole group of co-participants, and how the switch in between the dual orientation is in coordination with Mark's display of his recipiency. So I have marked the absence of Mark's recipiency toward Jason as yellow in the transcript, and Jason's orienting to the rest of the co-participant in red, so that you may get a better visualization of how things are happening here. Now let's look at the first DCU of Jason's turn. So at the beginning of his first TCU, Jason has just gained recipiency from Mark after the turn beginning. And then he sustains mutual gaze with Mark. Then he orients to the other co-participants by the end of the TCU, directing the talk also to the group, not only just to the primary speaker. And this kind of resembles what happens at the third increment. When Mark starts to withdraw his recipiency from Jason. And meanwhile, he opens his mouth as a display of his willingness to talk. So through this final increment, Jason sustains gaze at Mark, hold the floor, and then he orients to other co-participants at the end of the increment. And now let's unpack the first and the second increment, because their body display are slightly different during the first and second increment of Jason's Virgo turn. So as we can see, Mark also starts to attempt to withdraw recipiency and gain speakership, but his verbalizations in overlap with the beginning of Jason's first increment. And we can also see Jason employs a series of floor-holding devices, including the vocal hesitation and the exhalation, the breath pausing and restarts. And also, Jason has employed a kind of bodily movement, including gaze orients to other participants as soon as Mark moves his gaze away from him. So Jason's this dual orientation toward the rest of the group is also accompanied with his pointing gesture and is responded to by other co-participants with nodding and acknowledgement. So as it goes on, we can see that Mark has displayed a sustained recipiency toward Jason, and Jason has been displaying more equally distributed switches in between the dual orientation toward Mark and toward the rest of the group. So what I hope to have shown you is that there's different seating arrangements, as well as their different participant roles and the different sequential environments all afford and avail different resources for the participants to co-construct and negotiate on their shared interactional space. For example, for both Mark and Jason, a talked body and gaze facing toward one another is a way of displaying their recipiency to and to sustain mutual orientation in between each other. But then for Mark to withdraw recipiency, he employs a redirection back to the home position. And differently for Jason, a redirection to the home position is a way of gain recipiency from other co-participants, especially at the absence of Mark's recipiency display. This is a bit tricky, but I hope I've made this clear.
5 minutes.
Right. So this is the next case in which the two participants are sitting face to face with each other. Let's see how they compare to the first one.
Yeah, I'd like to. Are you
looking at the cost of the project too? Yeah, I mean, I'd like to. I mean, I think that's going to be difficult to predict.
Yeah.
Because obviously we don't know how good she'll be to manufacture.
Sure, but in terms of, obviously you want to go farm design, you can estimate steelwork, all the general.
So as we can see on line 29 to 33, after self-selecting himself, John continues with the sequence expansion, starting on line 34. And now let's see what happens next.
All the generators and electronic stuff, I imagine the prices will be available.
Yeah, that's what
And if, even if it's not an exact figure, a ballpark figure is definitely worthy, because otherwise there's no point us doing the project when the whole basis was to reduce the overall cost, but we then find out it's actually more expensive to do this and attach it to wind farm than it is just to do it.
Well, that's the whole point of the project, because we want actually.
So during this sequence expansion, we can see that Mark has also displayed several attempts to gain speakership from John, and because of the limited time, I'll just unpack the first and second attempt of Mark and how they've been doing this. So during Mark's first attempt to gain speakership, starting on line 40, he inserts a verbal turn in overlap with John's verbal turn, and he leans backward and with his elbows raising above the desk, but he soon drops out as John soon claims for speakership with vocalization in overlap, and also his next turn beginning with restarts in raised volume. So meanwhile, Mark lowers his volume and stops his turn as a gradual verbal dropout, and he simultaneously leans forward and places his elbow back on the desk, resuming his home position as a recipient of John. So in this case, John adopts verbal resources to sustain and maintain speakership. And now let's continue to see how the second attempt of Mark is slightly more complicated with the first one. So on line 45, Mark attempts to gain speakership by producing the yeah and the turn initial it if in overlap with John's turn, and soon verbally drops out as John speeds up and raises his volume at no with a prolonged sound, while he initiates a gesture with both hands open. So in response to this, Mark starts to lean forward, but he keeps his mouth open as an embodied standby. And in response to that, John then takes a further step to consolidate his speakership during this highlighted utterance with a series of bodily movements. He uses a series of gesticulation by slowly closes his hands together and holds them and point them forward at the final word basis. So it is precisely at the vocalization of basis when Mark closes his mouth, indicates his definite withdrawal of his attempt to gain speakership. So what I hope to have shown you is that this seating arrangements afford the two speakers to have more accessibility to a sustained mutual gaze, while a twist of upper torso as an indication of disengagement is unavailable to them. But on the other hand, a sustained forward leaning position is used by them as a display of a constructing a more stable and shared interactional space for mutual orientation, while when they start to lean backward, is a display of how they bring a change of participation framework and create instability of shared interactional space. So in the study, I hope to have shown how multimodal resources can be used by participants to contextualize the turn-taking practices in multi-party meetings, and how they are competent to mobilize such kind of resources made available to them by the different physical position, that's the different seating arrangements. And also we've seen there's a hierarchical order of the deployment of such kind of resources from gaze to the upper body and then to their gesture. And also this study, I hope to invite a rethinking of the home position, the notion itself, because originally it means going back to something, but then the two cases have shown it's slightly more unstable and more relative notion to that original one. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that was great. What a really good start. What we'll do now is that we'll ask Mike to come up just to hand over onto the computer, but stay where you are, because we have a couple of moments for questions, comments, observations. So, Mike, if you come up, and questions can be directed to Shishen while we're setting up the next one. COVID.
I thought this was a really interesting talk.
I just
wanted to know, are you working with collections of cases? And if so, do the things that you've told us about today generalize across the collection, or are these more single case analyses?
Yes, I do have a collection. I've collected every speaker transition happens during sequences of such kind of update. So I've got other cases of how the participants are seated face to face with each other and on the side, just to compare how they can mobilize the different resources made available to them.
And so you're working with generalizations that hold across the collections?
I hope to, yes.
Lorenza.
Yeah, thank you very much for your talk. I was interested in the co-participants, in the attention to the co-participants. And what seems to appear from your analysis and your contrast is that in the first case, side by side, in a way, the body talk position allows for include much more the co-participants in the talk between two people.
Yes.
Whereas when they are face to face, they just look at each other. So
yes.
Paradoxically, the face to face excludes everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, is something that you are looking at?
Well, I'm not specifically looking at other co-participants, but then in these two cases, there's definitely a contrast that when they are, they need to talk their body to be able to face to face with each other. There's also a need that they need to direct their talk to the rest of the group. But then when they're face to face with each other and facing the center, the need to direct the talk to the rest of the group kind of be not so much. So, and that's very interesting.
Another round of applause. Thank you very much, Ishan.